Everybody awake!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning!
Good morning to you! Good morning! Good morning! It's great to stay up late. Good morning! Good morning to you!
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth. Chris Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Ben Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gertz.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps.
For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning. This is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening. I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Well, we're back. Just took a little sip of Fresca. So we're back. Boy, I'll tell you, we're already at after 10 o'clock now, and we've got some eating to do. Mm-hmm. We have been promoting this this morning. Rufus has made such a big deal out of eating or not eating kale, the Anti-Kale Society. You're really eyeing that, aren't you, Rufus?
I'm passing this big one along to Paul.
Works for me.
Are we supposed to eat all of it, Gary?
No.
Gary made quite a big batch of this.
This is a bag of kale, believe it or not. This is a bag. But here are the ground rules. I understand that some people like things. Some people don't.
Yeah.
You are not going to hurt my feelings if you do not like this. Basically, what this is kale cooked in a frying pan. Actually, I cooked it in a wok with beef broth, about 2 cups of beef broth.
Nice.
With some garlic and some red pepper flakes.
It smells good.
It does.
Yeah, so it's
very good.
It does have a slight bite. Mm-hmm. You guys,
but not like the Carolina Reapers that Jimmy brought in a few minutes ago.
No.
I'm glad he took those with him.
Well, and here's the thing: if you've ever had one of the they were talking about the Red Hots that Carolina Packer makes, about that kind of heat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right. Let's see. Let me get, boy, look at all those flakes in there.
Very good. Very good.
It's delicious. Yeah, there's just a slight,
little bite at the end. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah.
You chewy. Know what?
Well, here we go.
You added a couple bacon bits and a little bit of vinegar. I would count this as excellent.
Well,
I could get on board with
it
that.
It truly is the Rufus Edmonston Reformation period going on right now.
But they've undergone quite a reformation from when Gary had them in the bag.
Yeah.
Then out of the frying pan came the reformation. It came the edibility and something that I could eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
An honor to be honored like that.
These have no bitterness. How did it? Every time I've eaten kale, it was a little bitter. It was in a salad. How'd you get that out of
I'm
there?
I'm thinking the cooking process.
Cooking process
knocks it out.
Now, when you originally told us this, I thought you fried it, but this is in a wok.
Right. Or frying pan.
Did you use any oil or anything?
No.
Just the beef broth.
Just the beef broth. Yeah. Basically, okay. It was steamed. It steamed it.
Yeah.
But you could saute them.
Uh huh.
In a little olive oil or butter.
Well, that's where I would put a tiny bit of the vinegar and a couple bacon bits.
I like the bacon bit idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of times when we have this at the house, I have some pepperoncinis with it and use a little bit of the vinegar out of the pepperoncinis to go on it.
Well, you know what, folks? I'm reformed. I'm not going to say I love kale.
Well, you're
I will
eating
say
it.
That it is very delicious the way Gary fixed it.
And it's healthy. It's healthy this way. I'm sure kale is healthy anyway.
It's crunchy.
Yeah.
It's not slimy.
Mm-hmm. It's cooked just the right amount. You know.
And the beef broth is not going to make it unhealthy.
Right.
Well, and the thing is, unlike spinach, when you overcook it, you know, it, like you said, Rufus, kind of becomes I won't say slimy, but it's kale, I think, is a little bit more forgiving because it's a little bit of a tougher leaf.
And it's got a tang, but it's not bitter. And I like that tang.
Because we've tried this with chicken broth. Beef broth seems to give it a little bit more flavor.
Yeah.
If you were looking more for a vegan, vegetarian type thing, you could use vegetable broth. To do this as well. But basically, the broth is steaming it in the pan. I did have a covered pan, by the way. I should probably add that. A lid on the pan to actually steam it a bit more. So,
how about that? I wish
glad you guys like it.
Wish we could share this with our listeners. Larry is next up. Larry, good morning. You're on WPTF.
Good morning. Great one. This is Larry. Larry Pollard. I appreciate
Hey, Larry.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How's Brenda?
Well, good. She's fine. She's here with me right now. Her blue eyes are shining bright.
Oh, nice.
And we're having a good morning. Wow. I was just sitting here listening to what you were talking about the recipe for that you put in this and you put in that. And I got to thinking, my kind of talk is about owls. And owls, they have a call, and it's called, ooh. And that must be what you use when you cook your kale. And so remember that the next time you hear a hoot owl going, that's an owl.
Well, Larry, you are the owl man.
Takes all kinds to put on a show.
I couldn't help but laugh.
That's all right.
Quite often.
We get the talent show section of the Weekend Gardener that comes up. And
by the way, Larry's a good lawyer, too.
Well, thank you.
And
I appreciate
his dear
that.
Wife served my predecessor in the Secretary of State's office, Mr. Thad Ure, for many, many years, his dear wife, Brenda.
Yeah, she's quite something. I tell you what, we were together a couple of nights ago up in over in Raleigh with Elon. And they were talking about the different things that are going on at Elon University. And I had the opportunity to meet with the dean of the law school up there, and strangely enough, I go to Wake Forest and a number of other universities and schools and give a program on owls and things like that. So it's kind of interesting that I've heard a whole lot about owls in the past week and a half, and it's been a lot of fun talking about them. And I'll tell you, in the past 3 days, when we had a big harvest moon, is the best time to hear a hoot owl.
Wow.
And it goes, ooh, and now I knew I'm going to tell everybody that Rufus Everson is cooking for me.
Yeah, he's got the recipe.
Well, yeah. You want Gary Stevenson to do your cooking for you.
He's got some skills.
I'm sure. Well, I just want you to say that I thank that plug about the fact that I was with a lawyer, that I was a lawyer, because I found most of my knowledge and expertise in the law when I worked for the Attorney General's office as a special prosecutor for you.
I have heard that so many times from people. I mean, they come out of the woodwork. It seems like everybody has worked for Rufus at the Justice Department.
Well, let's put it this way, Larry. Worked with me.
I worked with you.
Not for me.
Well, I had a lot of fine lawyers around me and a lot of fine people, and it was always a great fun to go over and go to the Chitlin and get all the people who have been working with you over the years and who you know very, very well from all of your political and all of your knowledge in the law and up in Washington. It's been a tremendous connection that you have for all of North Carolinians, especially lawyers, and especially everybody. So it's wonderful. Nice to be talking to you this morning.
Well, Larry, I appreciate you calling and listening this morning very much. Doing the owl imitation. I don't think that we've had that before.
No.
On the show. We've had a lot of animal calls, but not an owl.
Yeah, that's what they say. And so the next time anyone's having some of the special add-ons into the pan, just look at them and say,
be the nice title for a book.
Yeah, it is. And I was driving down to the coast the other night when the moon was out there. It was so big and beautiful. I said to myself, man, those owls are out tonight, and they're looking around.
How about that? Well,
yeah.
Well, Larry, take care, and our best to your wife.
I'll give it to her right now.
Yes, sir.
She's right here with me, and again, I appreciate everything. I would like to tell you about a friend of mine recently, Robert Freeman. He's the publisher and editor of Attorney at Law magazine, and he has been very helpful with me in that owl theory that I worked on many years ago. So I'd just like to give him a plug because he's been very helpful to me. He's helped me find the last little tidbit of evidence, and that is what really does prove that the owl theory is very credible.
Well, I know that the Netflix look into, you know, the movie was very successful and really extraordinary, this whole thing.
It really has been, but it's been a good education. But it's always fun and great to talk to the great one.
It is,
and
indeed.
I love to listen to this program, whether I'm driving along on the highway or whether I've just picked up the phone and somebody says, "You're on the radio."
That's right.
The great one.
And now they'll talk about your owl imitation. So.
Oh, they already talk.
I'm sure they do.
I'm a little crazy.
From far and wide.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Larry.
Have a good day.
You too.
Good
day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, coming up, after the break, we're going to talk to Elliot in Greensboro. Another Greensboro person, so.
What is that little plug?
Thank you.
Okay, it's 10:25. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF, or some semblance thereof.
Well, I feel like I'm freed. Kale. I'm freed, Michael.
Sent to the promised land.
From my overt, unreasonable prejudice against kale in general.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that I ever want to touch a raw kale leaf in a salad or something like that.
Well, maybe you'll be open-minded.
But the Gary Stevenson.
Yeah. Excellent.
Kale Epicurean delight. Is good. It's
let me talk to Elliot here. We'll get back to Kale a minute. Elliot from Greensboro. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to all of you. I have one minor addition to Gary's recipe for the kale. I would add a full cup of virgin olive oil before I started cooking it. That makes it much easier to slide into a garbage can.
I'll be doggone.
I was wondering where he was going with that.
I thought this was going to be a... turned out to be very contentious.
I was going
to
say, because a cup of olive oil, that's a lot of olive oil.
Well, Elliot, I'm telling you, it was tasted really good.
Well, I might have to try that. I might have to try it.
All right.
Well, Elliot, if I can do it with the prejudice that I possessed... I know you can.
Well, Elliot, Gary, give the recipe again, Gary.
Okay, so basically it was a bag of kale. Now, I will advise this. In those bags of kale, there's often some leaves with stalks on it. So, you know, peel those away. But about 2 cups of beef broth, about a tablespoon of red pepper flakes, and a couple of teaspoons of garlic. And then cover it. Saute it, steam it, and you can tell it's as it turns a dark green, it's done at that point.
Yeah, I mean it's okay. Pretty too. Elliot, does that sound interesting to you, or are you
that does? And I, if you have time, I have a more important.
Yes. What was your question?
Well, I have a comment. I heard several of you comment about the Wake Forest and UNC football game today.
Yes.
And a very, very important resident of Raleigh, Prentice Baker III, who is the Baker Roofing Company, he and his wife will be honored at halftime today.
Oh, nice.
For their most recent donation to that university. It now surpasses over $6 million.
Oh, my.
And Baker... When Prentice joined that company, there were 9 employees. The company was started by his grandfather. They now have over 2,000 employees with branches all over the Southeast, going from Florida to Maryland. And more important than that, he is involved in so many wonderful things around Raleigh, like the Boys and Girls Club, the Salvation Army, things like that. And he doesn't just lend his name to that or give some dollars to that. He actually participates. He has been on the soup line in the Salvation Army. He knows all the people over at the Salvation Army, all the place where they sell used furniture stuff. He knows all those people by their first names, yeah. And they know him. So he's just a wonderful person. I'm afraid that the television people will not televise that halftime festivity, but I hope they do.
Well,
that's wonderful. Yes. They've been a longtime sponsor on WPTF, yeah. Too. So, yeah,
I live on family. Lake Wheeler Road, down from where Prentice was for years and years. And I met you talked about his grandfather, and they are coming next week to do my roof.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How about that?
Well, you can't drive around Raleigh without seeing some of their work, you know, yeah. From the Capitol to buildings over at NC State and over at Meredith and all over. They're just wonderful people. Yeah.
Great family.
Yes, well, they are.
Elliot, I appreciate you calling us from the beautiful city of Greensboro this morning.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to listen to you every Saturday morning.
Keep an open mind about kale now.
I'll do that.
All right.
Blessings to you all.
Thank you so much. All right, more of The Weekend Gardener coming up. We'll talk to Ricky and Rougemont straight ahead. back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. It's 10:33. We ain't gotten in much gardening this morning, have we, Paul?
Well, I got one thing on the perennial stem cutting.
Please, please do.
Yeah, this is from Elsa Youngstead, who's a fabulous researcher at NC State, looks at beneficial insects and their habitat. And she did some research collaborating with master garden volunteers across the state with a variety of gardens. And what they recommend is to create maximum habitat for cutting back your perennials this winter. Basically, leave 12 to 24 inches of stubble in your perennials, if you can, if you're willing. And that'll give next spring a place for those.
Stubble?
Yeah, just the stems.
Okay.
You know, cut them back and leave 12 to 24 inches of stem height when you're cutting back your perennials. That's the way to maximize habitat for pollinators and beneficial predator insects.
Very good. You agree with that, Counselor?
I agree with that. On the perennials, of course, now the annuals, they pull out of the ground.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Campbell Road Nursery welcomes the season of Thanksgiving today. In the spirit of the season, they're collecting non-perishable food. So if you bring eight items, like eight cans of food, and receive your choice of a free flat of pansies or a flat of perennials for half price. And they also have a food truck out there. The Tasty Tasty Food Truck is on site. So that's probably starting at 11 o'clock, that part of it. But going out there, it's a wonderful place. It's like a little village. And Phil always has something going on and a lot of beautiful plants there, especially the pansies this time of year because she grows them up a storm. Their greenhouse is filled with pansies over there. Yeah. It's so pretty. Phil's always thinking about the other person. So bring some canned goods and get the pansies or the flat of perennials for half price and beautify your yard. Ricky is in Rougemont. And Rufus and I have been through Rougemont or been at Rougemont there at the – What is that beautiful?
The center.
Quail Roost?
Quail Roost, yeah. Center.
Ricky, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
How can we help you?
I have a gardening question for you this morning.
All right.
I got a Rosa Sharon. I bought this property a couple of years ago. Haven't done very much with it, but whoever planted it, it is too close to the house, and it needs severe pruning. This plant is, I would say, 10 foot tall, 8 foot wide. But the back of the plant, it's encroaching, like pushing against the house. When can I prune this plant, and how severe can I prune it?
Did you say Rosa Sharon?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a mighty big one you're talking about.
Yes,
they have an easy route to fool with if you want to move it.
That'd be the best long-term solution.
And tell me, now, I took a picture of this plant, and like a Google picture, Googled it, and when it was in full bloom, and Google is telling me it's a Rosa Sharon. The base of this plant is probably 8 inches. It has been pruned many, many times. To me, it looks like almost back to the ground.
Well,
it's such a big ball at the base, like a giant root all in one coming out, and then it spreads out into the wideness and everything.
Yeah, they spread out, but you know what? When you dig that thing up, you can cut some of those roots off, and it won't matter a bit in the world. A Rosa Sharon grows very easily, hard to kill. And I know what Paul's going to tell you. Go ahead and do it now.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
That sounds like a plan.
Get out of there.
I have a place. I did not want to fool with it, during the warmer season. This is a question. There are many, many, many little balls on this plant that look like about the size of my thumb, the end of my thumb. Are these buds that are set for the next year?
Does it have beautiful blooms on it in the summer?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It is.
All right.
Okay. And what I've seen in the greenery. These were still very green. Looked like a little bulb or a little ball. And they were set all over the plant. And, you know, I said, well, is that next year's blooms? Or if I move it, should I prune it back very far?
I think that's sort of like a hip on a rose, I think. I don't think that
yeah.
that's okay. That's not your blooming thing.
Yeah.
They're hard, okay. The little balls okay. are hard, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the fruit. Not, no, that's the fruit then, yeah, with the little seeds in them. Yeah, you could cut it back a little bit. I wouldn't cut it back a lot, but you could cut it back a little bit just to make it a little easier to manage when you move it. But, yeah, ultimately, regardless of we think it's a Rose of Sharon, even if it's not – it's in the wrong place, yeah. and it just needs to be pruning it is a losing battle. So your best bet is to move it. This is a great time of year to do it.
Yeah, I still appreciate that information, and I enjoy your show. Greg.
Well, Ricky, give our best to everybody up there in Rougemont and Timberlake and T.G. Brooks and all that area up there.
Good digging.
Certainly will.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up at 10:39. Right, we're back. 10:43 WPTF time. Rivers, you are going to Little Washington today.
Yes, this is the annual oyster roast in Little Washington. That's to save the sounds, a protection of the river and the sounds down there. A fabulous thing. There'll be hundreds of people there. And all the oysters you can eat, they do bring them in from Norfolk. But they say that's the best oysters. And it's going with my brother-in-law, who's the knockoff Tabasco sauce guru. And I look forward to it to see a man I nicknamed the Rabbi, whose family long ago were in the business of building North Carolina's school buses.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
How about that? Well, I hope you have a good time. I hope there's some Weekend Gardener listeners down there.
Well, we'll see if there are.
All right. We'll report back. Now, how do you eat your oysters? You
steamed.
Just right down the gullet?
With a little butter. That's it.
Butter?
Yes, sir.
Huh.
Have no problem with that. As long as somebody else shucks them.
Yeah, that can get you. I mean, you can hurt yourself trying to get those things open with that knife. So you well, stay away from that.
They've got shuckers there for you. That's the lazy oyster eater.
Is there any shagging or
no,
any other activities?
Not any of that.
No bands?
Live, they have a silent auction, but there'll be hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
Just hundreds.
Nice. All right, well, have fun. The you know, the folks at if you're thinking about your car season after season, folks at King's Auto Service recommend just like the spring and summer and winter, might want to get a little checkup with maybe nothing wrong, but they can help you prevent things going wrong on your car. And King's Auto Service has been in business since 1946, and so they've gotten everything down pat. No pollen problems this time of year to ruin your car. But, you know, the batteries really get messed up in the summer with all of that heat. And then you start, one of these cold mornings, you start noticing hard starting. And I don't know if batteries last as long as they used to, because all the electronics, I don't know, maybe they've tweaked them well enough.
Used to you could buy a five-year battery.
Yeah.
For a car. Now, three is the max.
I think I agree
with you.
Yeah. So get them to check the battery, that 12-volt battery in your car, and they've gotten that down pat now. They can more easily tell if that's going away and if you should change it. And they also have certified hybrid technicians at King's Auto in downtown Raleigh, and specially trained, obviously. A lot of people have hybrid vehicles now, And those batteries, which can be quite pricey, may start to wane a little bit around 150,000 miles. So get a courtesy battery analysis for that, that big battery at King's Auto Service, or most anything. All the Japanese and American vehicles they can take care of, not the European, but the Japanese and American. And I would think that before long, Dean Bailey, who owns King's Auto Service, will be working on electric vehicles, totally electric vehicles, because he's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And all of his people are highly trained. They're all of the mechanics. So go to King's Auto Service, get your oil changed, get it all done, get all that preventative stuff done, just like you do with your physician during a physical, and they can do the physical on your car or truck or whatever. King's Auto Service at kingautomotive.net, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh. Again, since 1946, they've been helping people. So,
We've heard from Joe the Bouncer. He sent me a picture here, Paul, of, he says, the Prince Charles Gardenia.
Yeah, we have those. We met the guy who developed
that. Yes. It's a strange-looking thing with an orange bud.
That's striking. That's spectacular.
Yeah. Well, he seems to think it's diseased. It certainly is beautiful to me.
What makes him think it's what are the symptoms?
Well, any guesses as to what that is?
He said,
any corrective measures needed, or I just need to send it to the CDC? Well, I'd say, Joe the Bouncer, that is such a beautiful thing. I've
never seen anything like that on a gardenia.
Admire it with curiosity.
Did he call it King Charles?
He said King Charles, yes.
Yeah, it's a low-growing that blooms
twice
in the spring and fall.
And it's a gardenia.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It hasn't quite bloomed yet, but it looks beautiful the way it is. So it looks like a duck with an orange head and a green bill.
But that plant apparently is supposed to have a white blossom.
I know. That's what is baffling me.
Now, we've got a gardenia that has something similar to that on it. I don't think it's that bright an orange, but...
When does it bloom?
It blooms white, and it blooms in the spring and the summer.
So it's twice a year?
Yes.
Well, that's what the Prince Charles is supposed to be. So I have no idea what that orange is. Huh. Well, Joe the Bouncer, we're stumped.
Maybe it's just the seed pod forming. It's bloomed, and maybe that's the seed pod forming.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Charles gardenia.
Prince Charles.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, mine hasn't bloomed yet.
Yeah, I don't know that mine has for the fall yet or not.
Probably a little late. If it hasn't bloomed, it's probably not going to now.
Well, this is in upper part of Virginia that he's talking about, or is he talking about here?
No, it's in his Virginia garden.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll have to do some research on that. But it is pretty, whatever it is. But, Paul, that might be an idea there. You said it was part of...
Maybe it's the seed pod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blossoms. It's done blooming, and it's forming the seed pod.
Like I said, on ours, something very similar shows up, but it's not that orange. So that's got to be with the species, unless the orange is the problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't look diseased anyway.
This AI stuff that just came out on my phone, it makes no sense whatsoever. So I'm surprised my phone is not smoking right now, because the AI it was totally confused. I put an orange blossom I mean, it said everything but the Orange Blossom Express.
So, oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
That's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Would you like to sing some as we go out? Or?
That's what it is. It's the seed pod. It's
seed pod. Okay. Of the well, that makes sense.
It is normal. Nothing to worry about.
Okay, Joe the Bouncer, you got your answer there from Paul the Man.
Why did Mr. AI say that?
Yeah.
I'll have to change and put in seed pod, see if it confirms that. But okay, Paul, thank you. I don't know. So you haven't noticed that on yours, Rufus?
No, I never have.
I wonder if it has to be fairly mature. But I don't know how long those things haven't been sold that many years. So, I mean, it's a beautiful. You know,
yeah,
it's a nice
we met the man, as you said.
Yeah, who developed that and.
We were out between Pittsburgh and Siler City.
We certainly were.
At some rental place there.
Yeah, sold gravel, you know, all the mulch and stuff right. like that. Well,
Joe the Bouncer also informed me last week that he had planted two more Daphnes.
And is he having trouble with Daphnes?
And he had already, he said they had existed, had lived for a week. Of course, he hadn't looked at them or talked to them or even acknowledge them, because you know about Daphnes, don't you, Gary?
I do not.
Well, if you look at them, talk to them, do anything to them, they'll die.
They get they don't like wet feet. Yeah. Most plants don't, but they're a little picky.
And but Daphne is a very wonderful
blooms
winter
in the winter
plant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wonderful fragrance,
getting,
kind of a lemony.
Getting ready right now to start. Beautiful, beautiful plant. And if you get one up about 10 years old. And it's about 4 feet tall and 3 feet wide.
Mine, I'm sure, is closer to 30 years old.
Oh, yeah. And yours was the accident.
Yeah. I had one that is still in my yard that I put behind a bush. Somebody gave it to me. And Nelsa Cox has one. She told me it's probably that old. And because I don't think I've had this person on the show in 30 years. Hmm. So I have this, and I put it behind some shrubs in the front. And I'm going to plant it. And I forgot about it. And so months later, maybe a year later, it had grown into the ground. The roots had come through, you know, that hole in the bottom and taken root there. And so, well, okay, I couldn't pull it up. I'll just leave it there. Because it's on a slope, it's kind of on a slope, right up against the house, and I waited and waited, and it you know, forgot about it again, and it busted the container open. I mean, it's the container just split and fell away. Eventually, and so it was up against the house, and right next to it was a corner of a house, and there was a big Mahonia. It must be 8 feet tall. It's huge. And it has, I guess it's north-facing in front of my house. So it grew around the bottom of the Mahonia toward the west to pick up some of that sun, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's thrived.
Yeah.
Full of blooms. Big. I'll find a photo of it. Yeah. Or maybe I've shown it to you before.
Oh, yeah.
That's the darndest thing. And we're painting our house. In the next few months, and I'm going to have to cut that back some.
Ooh,
and the Mahonia, and I don't know. You think it's that picky that it's just not going to like to be pruned either? I mean, I'm not going to move it.
I don't know.
But you know, that's a common mistake, is people planting things too close to the house, and that, you know, give yourself room when you plant something.
Yeah, for most things, but this worked. Well, because yeah. it didn't grow up that much, it just grew around
right
this Mahonia.
Perfect little ecosystem for it.
It is. It yeah. must be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I set a pot windmill behind in the corner of the house about 20 years ago. It's now 30 feet tall. But I was getting it out of the way. And forgot about it.
What plant was that?
Windmill palm.
Windmill palm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
So, Gary, you're...
All right. Well, let's go to Jared in Apex real quick. How much time do we have? Okay, about three minutes. Hey, Jared, how are you?
Great. This should be a quick one. I was listening to you guys a while back, and you were talking about some kind of craft festival, and you were talking about some hot dogs, and they sounded good.
Yeah, that's at
the location.
State Farmers Market. We were talking to Monica. It's their fall craft fair, but they also have the folks from Johnston County, Carolina Packers, there, and those wonderful hot dogs and bologna and all that stuff they produce. So they're
okay,
handing out
they
samples.
They sell those there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're giving away hot dogs, but they're giving away samples of the hot dogs and stuff, and you might be able to find a whole hot dog, too, while you're there. But that's at the
How long does that craft fair
fall
last?
Craft fair until 5 o'clock today and then 9 till 5 tomorrow. I don't know about Carolina Packers, how long they will be there.
Right.
Are you hungry right now, Jared?
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Hey, man, go for one of those Red Hots. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, get on out there, Jared.
All right. Thank you.
All right, bye. How about that? I won't be able to kiss my wife today. It's garlic breath. Gary Stevenson in here feeding us kale with garlic and pepper on it.
Well, so. Take the rest of it home. She can eat some of it, and then she'll never know.
Neutralize.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you.
I hope you will keep coming back. I hope your management will allow you to keep coming back.
They haven't found any discrepancies yet. Basically, I got a thing set up where I just say, hey, going to be on the show this day. And they're like, cool, rock and roll. So
man.
We're good for December.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, the 13th will be at the State Farmers Market, and the 6th, the week before, we'll be at Campbell Road Nursery, and that's always unbelievable. We'll be in a big greenhouse with thousands of poinsettias.
Oh, yes. A lot of fun.
Yeah, always a lot of fun. Both locations have been doing that for a long time, as is this show. I'm doing this for a long time, and it's fun. Don't you think, Paul?
Oh, it's a hoot. Yeah,
so what are you doing today? Are you going to the farmer's market or are you going back to Henderson?
Probably just head back home.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, our best to your wife. And Rufus, you've got a lot of stops today. You've got to go to
Campbell
Road.
I've got to go to Phil's first. I'm going to
Because they got a food truck there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're not going to be the first in line, but I'm sure that the horns will blast out as you make your way into Rufus Way there at Campbell Road Nursery.
Closest thing to get, I get a hot dog named after me, dogs and cats, and I got a...
The entrance to Campbell Road Nursery.
An entrance, a roadway into Phil's.
Yeah. All right. Well, God bless you all. We'll see you next week on The Weekend Gardener on WPTF.